Welcome to another episode of Why Your Story Podcast, brought to you from the beautiful home of SVI Media in Afton, Wyoming. I am your host, Travis Osmond.
I am your host, Mary Jo Parker.
And together we are
Why Your Story.
How's everybody doing out there today? Everybody good? We hope you are. MJ, you good?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Yeah, I'm good.
Good.
Yeah, we're living the, enjoying the 2 weeks of winter that we, or summer that we normally get here in Star Valley.
Yeah. This is a rainy one. It's good, though.
It has been wet.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, it's been wet, but it's also been cool, which I think has saved a lot of the people from maybe too much flooding, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
We've had a lot of snow and then their hills wanting to come down.
But now we'll probably have mosquitoes.
Yeah. Yeah, mosquitoes and, of course, weeds. Those are things that we can always plan on, and taxes. And
all our favorite things.
All our favorite things. Well, good deal. Well, we'd like to thank our sponsors. First of all, SVI Media. Thanks, you guys, for all you do. Duke, Dal, and Dan. Star Valley Health. Appreciate all you guys do for us. EcoLife. Hey, feel free to jump in.
No, you just go ahead.
EcoLife for all your pest control and lawn care needs. Anyway, yeah, life's good. Good. Can't complain.
What'd you do? Did you do anything fun last weekend?
We planted our garden.
Oh, good. I haven't planted mine yet.
We did the podcast on green and growing things, and we got everything planted.
Good.
Yep. And we're excited. We've got a bunch of neat grow boxes set up with hoops and stuff. So we're going to try to grow like pumpkins. We've never done the pumpkins before. And of course, we've got all our tomatoes growing nicely in the greenhouse now. And so,
yeah, I've got my tomatoes going, but and some cabbage. That's about it.
So, oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's okay. Yeah. You could subsist on tomatoes.
Subsist
on tomatoes and cabbage. Is that the right word? Subsist?
I could, but I don't really have good luck with tomatoes. I get like 10, and that's it. Yeah. But they're good.
Well, I think one living in Star Valley is pretty good.
That's true.
You know, so give yourself a pat on the back. Hey, we've got a great guest with us today, everybody. This is a first for us.
Yeah. We had to tie him up and
we have been trying to get this guy on the hook for months now, and we finally got him. And it was crazy because even though he owns this studio, you can never get him in the studio to talk to him. So
that's true. I asked Duke earlier today. I said, "Do you know if Dan's there?" And he goes, "I don't know. He just kind of came in and out and said something about Sundance and mumbled and walked off."
Senator Dan Dockstetter's in studio with us today, everyone.
And the crowd roars.
The clapping. Senator, how are you doing?
Well, good day to you. Good day to you both. Thank you for having me.
Well, we're glad that you could come on and talk to us today. We have so many questions for you. So we told you before, anything goes. You can plead the fifth, I believe is what they call it, right? Is you just be quiet.
It's all fair. And these are cold call questions, as I recall. We haven't discussed anything.
No, this is all off the cuff today for you. And so, you know, most people get the questions in advance and can shoo them away or accept them, whatever. But you're getting everything today. And so,
if anybody can do it, he can.
Yeah, for sure. But we appreciate you coming in with us today, and I think these questions we've got for you will be really good, and questions that our listeners will want to know.
All right. So, let's go.
All right. My question is, you were born in Idaho Falls, right?
Yes.
What brought you to Star Valley, when?
I grew up in the spud community of Shelley, worked in the spud fields, moved the pipe, harvest, everything like that.
Nice.
When I got married, we were looking for work, and we picked up an ad. Ironically, it was kind of just a series of little miracles. I had worked for a newspaper in southeast Idaho. Broke away from that, helped my dad in the car sales business for a little bit, and then was not happy, wanted to get back into journalism. And I listened to news all the time. I graduated in broadcast journalism, So when I was working with my dad, I'd tune into the noontime news, and there was an ad for, I'm getting to this in a long way. There was an ad for someone to run the one of the rental booths at the Idaho Falls Airport. And I told my wife about it. We were looking for a little extra money at the time. She said, I can do that in the evenings when you come. So she went out and did that. She's out there one day, and we were looking to get back into journalism and the career. And a gentleman got off an airplane and threw a newspaper down by her desk. She opened it up, and there was an ad to manage a weekly newspaper in Wyoming. We responded, sent resumes. My wife is a graphic artist. I've worked in journalism, worked for a paper, but my career is in broadcast journalism prior to that. That's what I graduated in. Ironically, I got into, my degree is broadcast journalism and political science.
Goodness.
I'm not too smart. I have not gone too far away from
goodness.
It, have I?
That's great.
Yeah, and so we answered, and some people in Wyoming and Jackson had just bought the Star Valley paper, and they hired us to come over and run it. What's the odds that I would listen to the noon news and hear that she'd go take the job? A gentleman gets off an airplane, throws the newspaper down by her desk, and she opens it up, and there's an ad for help wanted at a newspaper in Wyoming. We responded to it. They brought us in and interviewed us and gave us the job, and we moved to Wyoming never to look back. And Wyoming is near and dear to our heart, and especially Star Valley.
Nice. Yeah. How long ago was that?
Nearly 40 years.
Wow.
Yeah. We came to town with one little baby girl in our arms, did not know a soul. They gave us $100 to move. We moved over here. My dad unloaded us in one of the apartments here in Afton, and he left. It was on a Sunday afternoon. I walked out, and there was a police officer chasing a cow down the residential road. And this is on a Sunday afternoon. I turned to my wife. I looked at that, and I turned to my wife. I said, this is going to be an interesting job. And we stayed, one little girl, and we ended up with four children, born, raised here. Beyond that one, the rest were born here. They all went to the Star Valley schools, and Star Valley's in our heart and in our children's heart. And whenever they get a break, they come back to Star Valley from places like Texas and California, Utah, and we got to keep one here in the valley.
Wow.
That's great.
14 grandchildren, and when we come together, it's a big deal.
That is fantastic. So Shelley, Idaho is where it all began for you.
Shelley Russets. And so when Star Valley opens their season with the Shelley Russets on the Boise football field, people are saying, where is your allegiance?
Okay. Well, that's one of the questions I was going to ask. Have to ask you is the allegiance thing, because I'm sure you went to high school in Shelley.
Yeah, I got a little russet blood running, but I'm Star Valley strong. Okay. This is where I'm at. In those 40 years, I've covered a lot of state championships for Star Valley, photo-wise, writing-wise, and now with these guys in the broadcast where we pack up all the cameras in an old Suburban and travel across the state, Star Valley is in our hearts.
Awesome. So why, you mentioned that you were, I think you said, helping your dad with the car sales business, but that you were doing a little bit of that.
Yeah, prior to that, I'd worked for a daily newspaper
in
Idaho, and I wanted to get back into what I truly like, broadcast journalism, and I enjoyed print journalism, but not as much as broadcasting, and the job came up for print journalism first, and worked a lot of years, eventually asked Mr. Horsley, who had the station here, if I could help with that operation, and I did. I did morning news for a long time, and then we eventually, my wife and I, bought the station. Then we expanded it to stations. We added the Kemmer-Diamondville stations and the Bear Lake stations, and with the help of Duke Dance, Dal Erickson, and all these folks here, behind the scenes, Amanda Nelson, Aubrey Taylor, all these folks, and my wonderful wife, we put out radio and newspaper and a digital website and an app and all of that every single day. Yeah, and that's what we do, and the good folks that work here give me time off to go do a little public service.
Oh, that is amazing. There's so much going on there.
There is.
I don't think people realize the half of it.
It's pretty intense, but I got an understanding wife. With our kids gone, I don't know that I'd try something like this with the children still at home, because it is a multitask situation, and they're gone, and my wife's very patient. She's retired this year from the high school, so she's going to help me with drives to places like Sundance and things like that.
Wonderful.
Because when you have a meeting in the state, it's not always just in one place. It's wherever the meeting is. For example, Rare Earth Elements in Sundance, meeting with the CEOs and the head of the mining operations in Sheridan, and meeting last week in Rock Springs as they get ready to expand the Trona Patch, and meeting with the businesses and the legislators down there saying, how do we prepare for this? It goes on and on. In Laramie on Friday, meeting with all the brains in the energy world, where we sit around a table and I go, well, yeah, I probably should have gone for another degree or two, because there's some very smart people at the table.
Wow. Yeah. That is awesome.
But it all works. It does. That's the interesting part about it.
I was supposed to ask you about kicking and spurring across the state in 5 hours.
Do it a lot. It's I wear out a vehicle, a truck, generally every 2 years. I'll get them around 20,000-30,000 miles. And I'll run them up to 100,000 miles, and then switch them out. Or like now, I got a little 2002 Durango that just turned 282,000 miles.
Oh, wow!
And I'm having it changed as we speak. The oil is being changed because I'll be taking it somewhere else. All my vehicles, I add the extra spotlights on the front that make our law enforcement extremely nervous. But when I go out, there's the regular brights, and then I got a little toggle switch down on the center console that I light up the world. And because there's critters out there everywhere, and I get to see them incoming from the sides and all the way down the road. And when you come across a lone trooper or a lone sheriff's deputy out there in the middle of nowhere and you light him up, he wants to talk to you about your lighting situation.
So graduating in a field of political science, you obviously had some interest in
politics. Yeah, fascinated with the government. Watch, went to everything. As a kid, I watched the news. Isn't that freaky? I'd stay up at 10 o'clock at night with my dad and watch the 10 o'clock news, and I was fascinated with government and all that happened there. And when it came time to pick a career, I went into broadcast journalism and political science and tracked everything that was related to that. And when I came here, it was just the newspaper wasn't too involved in a lot of things. So I started showing up at all the town council meetings, the school board meetings, hospital board, everything. I went and covered it for the paper. And it was kind of, what are you doing here? Well, our newspaper, that's what we do. And I'd go to those, but then I became more interested at the county level and the state level, and I went over to the state legislature every year to cover them and to photograph and to cover our legislators. And I remember sitting in the gallery one time thinking, you know, if I can ever get my business positioned right, I'm going to take a shot at serving in the Wyoming State Legislature. Because I was so involved in everything at the local level, I understood the concepts. When they were talking about things, I was involved in all of that at the local level, towns, counties, schools, all of that. So it just was a natural to step in and serve at the legislative level too, and served on a lot of different committees over the years.
Wow. In your mind, is there a certain broadcaster that you admired when you were a kid, that someone that you wanted to be like?
Tom Brokaw.
Oh,
he came to speak at Yellowstone National Park. I couldn't afford it. It was when we lived in Apton and were raising a family, and we were broke, busted broke. I had a 19, this was in the 90s, late 90s. I had a 1974 Dodge pickup that was all bent up, and Tom Brokaw was speaking, and I didn't have the money to go pay for it. It was for the big money people up in Yellowstone.
Wow.
So I drove up there and went in, and I said, I can't afford this. And they said, well, then what do you do, you know?
Yeah.
And they're having a big dinner and a big money dinner, big donation. He was talking about news in the Intermountain West. And they said, he's going to be speaking the dinner, and then he's going to move out into that big hall and speak to everybody there. So you know what I did? I'm dishonest. I went into the big hall, and there were big timbers that held up the roof, big structures, and I hid behind one of those until Brokaw came in and all the dinner people came in, and then I just mingled out into the chairs and sat down.
That's awesome.
And I didn't pay, and so I'm a dishonest man, but I got to hear Tom Brokaw. And it was late by the time I went back, and I had to sleep in a turnout somewhere and get a park ranger to give me a hard time
because
I couldn't make it all the way back home without sleeping. But I barely had the money for the gas to get there, let alone buy a ticket to it.
Oh my goodness.
That's a fun story.
What a story. That is really neat.
Yeah, that's really good. One thing I know you like to do is you like to hike and climb mountains.
Love it. Solo or with people.
Yeah. And have you done most of the peaks and valleys around here?
Well, peaks around here in my younger year. I'm getting a little older now, a little slower. But I would tell my wife on the Grays River Road, pick me up at this point somewhere around 7, 8 o'clock at night, and I would leave the Star Valley side. And she was congenial. We had kids. She'd go around, set up a picnic and so forth. And I leave the Star Valley side and take off and go over the top. And at the top of the Salt River Mountain Range, you can see them all. It's Grand Tetons, Wind River Range, beautiful. Mm-hmm. A lot of times by myself, which probably isn't the smartest thing to do, but loved it. and then I drop down and catch up with her and the family and have a dinner. It takes all day to get over the range, but I was, I said to her, I said, whatever you do, don't call search and rescue, because then I become a story in our own newspaper.
Yeah. I was just thinking the same thing. Yeah.
And I said, I'll be there eventually. And one time we did one trip, we were doing kind of a back, go over the top, back on the backside, come down into Cottonwood. And we weren't going to make it in time because I got twisted up. I ran into clear up on the top of Cottonwood, up by Spring Creek, ran into Robert Roberts on horses. He was scouting out deer and elk with some of his family members. He said, Rob, I walked into his... He said they had horses around. He had his binoculars. I walked in. I said, Robert, can you give me a hand? He said, what are you doing up here? I said, can you point me down to Cottonwood Lake?
Oh, my goodness.
And I says, when you leave, would you get down there? You'll find some people around a campfire, my wife and some others. And I had my brother-in-law with me. And he was an Olympic Fijian runner, so he walked a lot faster than I did. And that's what he did. He went down and said, they will be down here late. It was somewhere around 1 o'clock in the morning. But we kept going with little flashlights in our hands. And I begged a couple of sodas out of Robert's saddle pack.
Oh, my word.
So what's your favorite hike? Do you have a...
I don't. I go... Salt River Range is probably my favorite. Salt River Range, Wyoming Range. We've done some other mountains. We've done a group of us, Ray Bates, Don Call, Jody Allen, Hal Robinson. We went out and did... Mount Rainier. Took us two different times to get that one done. Didn't take enough ropes the first time, but we got it done the second time. Rainier, Hood, Bora, just some of the major peaks out west.
Oh, my goodness.
Nice. Rainier, you had to get all, spikes and ice axes and ropes. And we just showed up, a bunch of old boys from Wyoming in blue jeans. We're going to climb that hill. And the guides up there went ballistic. They said, you are going to become a statistic. And we found out why when we came back the next day. There's crevasses to cross and all of that. But we made it. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
How fun.
There's a mountain here, and I don't remember. I want to say it's above Pinedale, where there was a World War II aircraft that crashed sometime during World War II, and the plane is still up there, at least parts of it. Have you been on that?
I have not. One of my next goals is to get Gannett done before I can quit climbing.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Gannett's a good one, but that's 2 or 3 days in. It's taking 2 or 3 days off, and I can't do that.
Yeah.
So, and we've, I'm intrigued by things like that. There was a Game and Fish plane that went down in the 40s in the Wyoming Range. And I grabbed a friend, Rowan Anderson. I said, let's go find that. It's off of the Deer Creek area. And we went up and climbed almost top of the Wyoming Mountain Range. What had happened, these guys were up scouting elk for the Game and Fish. They couldn't quite climb over the mountain. They hit the mountain. There were three of them in. It claimed the lives of the two people in the front. The gentleman in the back got thrown out. And the story goes in Star Valley history books, he worked his way all the way down to the Grays River and got himself a drink, but he was in bad shape. He was in horrible shape. And they got the word up somehow to the Young family at the ranch up there, Box Y. They went down and found him and nursed him back to health while a rescue party came up and got him. He survived that. We found that plane. Rowan and I went out one day, started looking around up the top, and the top, I picked up a piece of airplane fuselage. And I said, Rowan, look at this. And he looked around, and he looked, and there was this tree, this plane embedded in a tree that had grown around it.
Oh my goodness.
And he says, and look at that. And we found it. So I'm intrigued by things like that.
Oh, yeah. How cool is that?
Fun. Yeah, it's. I'll show you someday. You want to go for a walk?
Well, I do. I'd like to look at a picture. I try to let my horses do most of the walking because I'm just too lazy.
Well, I was just talking to a couple of friends this week, Rod Jensen, Jim Webb. I said, we ought to go climb Haystack. I took a shot of that in my younger day, went up the backside too steep.
Oh, my goodness.
Rod says he knows somebody on the front that'll let us up through. And I said, let's go climb Haystack before we get too old.
So, oh, my goodness.
That's cool.
That's in the Laura Valley.
Yeah. And that is steep country.
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. And I know in the wintertime, you have gone up and over someplace just to get a cheeseburger.
Yeah, we ride out of here, and Box Y, Tim and Cindy had a burger. They're great friends, and we'll ride out of, I live in the Grover area, so we can ride out of my garage. We can shoot up and go up Grover North, back down into Willow, go up Willow, go up North Willow. We can jump into, we'll clear up over the top and then drop down into Bear Canyon, drop all the way down into Grays River, go back over to the Box Y, and get a cheeseburger at Tim and Cindy's place at the Box Y, gas up our sleds, and go back.
So not even on groomed trails at all. You're just
no. It's not for the faint of heart.
Oh my goodness sakes!
But I'm getting too old for such things. And those were on the sleds. Now you just point them up and they go. Those were the sleds we had to take turns working.
Oh my!
I can remember
word.
Friends Lynn, Colin, Norm, Nelson were climbing up Wagner Peak up the chute behind Cottonwood Lake, and we would sit there and take turns shooting, going up. And these were the days we probably should have had more avalanche gear on, but we didn't.
Yeah.
We'd take turns. The higher you go, you get a little higher. And pretty soon, when the midday comes, we're sitting on top of Wagner Peak having lunch. And then it's time to drop onto Wagner Lake.
Oh, my goodness.
And you turn around to your buddies and say, okay, put your tray tables up and get ready to descend.
Here we go.
How fun.
What other hobbies? I mean, it sounds like you're passionate about these things. What other hobbies?
I love the outdoors. I enjoy photography. I enjoy very much what we're doing with SVI Media, traveling around covering the sports. It's that's all fascinating to me. If I read, it's not. I don't read fiction. I only read both read and listen to earpods. I go across the state only historical events or current political political science matters. I'm not interested in fiction at all. It's not the real world.
Sure. Yeah.
That's very true.
So, you mentioned the current situation, politics, that sort of thing. What are your feelings on the current situation that we find ourselves in 2023?
It's very heated. It's difficult, even at the local level. We have different factions. I tend to try to work with all because I have legislation to get through. When we get to a property tax legislation, serve in the Wyoming Senate, have friends that serve in the House, and we have a situation where we are in difficult times. People have discovered the Intermountain West, and they have discovered Western Wyoming. And it used to be a Teton County issue. Now it's a Lincoln County, Teton County issue. And so I keep my avenues open to work with these people. For example, property taxes last session. We have seen people the last 2 years, post-COVID, it'll go up 10-20%. Then the next year, it'll go up another 15-25%. This year, we started having 30-40% increases on top of the previous increases. And we were working legislation through. At one point, we had 17 pieces of legislation. I said to the leadership, are we going to see any of those pass? And they were not passing. Senate was passing some. And I can blame the House because the House isn't here. We'd send some over. We can send some over, and they weren't getting out of certain committees, and they were dying. And the one last bill that was left, we had some good pieces of legislation that were not heard. They just simply were not heard in the full body. I had one that was elderly and infirm, a constitutional amendment. And the Teton County folks came to me and said, you know, it's our problem. It's Lincoln. It's Teton. I said, I know. They said, what if we got with someone and we stripped out that bill and went after a fourth, a separate estate of residential property and then turn around, amend the Constitution, and turn around and just drop it, just put locks on it and bring the property taxes down. I said, I like the idea. We talked. I said, let's go down to lunch. We talked some more. And then I said, go find our best property tax legal team and start, let's put this together. And they did. I looked it over. I said, let's put it on the House floor first, see what happens. And I stayed for the debate. It happened to be when I bring the Star Valley kids over once a year from middle school. Mr. Milne brings them over, government classes.
Yeah.
We have a handshake with the governor, and it's all. And I sent you guys go over to Olive Garden. I'll be over to buy you dinner. And the debate went 2-3 hours. I texted him. I said, I'll pay for your dinner. I won't be there. I ended up being there very late. But I watched the House debate to see how it went. Senate Joint Resolution 3. That's what came through. And it passed. Well, that put it in my ball court. Didn't pass by far, but it put it in my ball court. So that means I had to go into the Senate and get folks warmed up to that. First day on the floor, I could tell I didn't have the votes. If you go into the Constitution, you have to have a 2/3 majority. And so I started working the floor, and I knew I didn't have it. So I asked the vice president, who was in the chair that day, I said, would you lay it back a day? He did. And I went to key people that I knew who were influential in property tax legislation and other things. One of them was the Senator Scott, is a senior member, been there forever. I mean, just, oh my goodness. Buddy's brilliant on the history. I said, Charlie, I took the amendment, cut it out of the bill because it was confusing people. I said, here's the amendment. You go home and sleep on it, and you let me know because I got to have your help on this. And he came back in the next morning, and Charlie gets there about 7, a group of us get there about 5, 6, and we kind of get things cranking and rolling, and Charlie walks in, and he stands by his desk with his coat on, and I sit two desks behind him, and he could feel me looking at him, because our desks have a little level thing.
Right.
And I'm peering over the top of that, looking at him. He turns, and he looks at me, sees me looking at him, and he says, "Okay, Dan, I'm with you." And that's what
no
I needed.
No kidding.
Yeah, I needed 22 votes, put it out on the floor, continue to work the floor. One of the hottest debates I have been through in years, and I've been there a few years. That was a very contested debate, had some tough guys go after me, like seasoned attorneys, floor leader, things like that. I needed 22 votes. I got 23.
Oh my.
I grabbed that bill in my hot little hands and ran downstairs to the governor's office. I said, "I need this signed in 24 hours, please."
Oh, my goodness.
And we did. We signed it, took a picture with the governor, and there you have it.
That is great.
But you don't get the property tax relief right away. We got to go 1 year. We put it on the ballot in 2024 because if we amend the Constitution, the public gets the right to vote on that because we're changing the Constitution. And I think we'll easily get the votes we need because people are sick of the property tax problem. And then we'll bring it out and we'll change the residential property tax. In the meantime, as a backup, I'm throwing some other pieces of legislation into the works to fight it. It's
amazing.
It's a detailed process. People don't, go pass this bill. It's a little more to it than just...
Yeah.
Yeah. The floor debate is just one stage of it. I mean, you're working things behind the scenes, knocking on doors, talking to people way in advance. I've already filed some property tax legislation for this year. I've been over to Cheyenne a couple of times. We're checking on it. Same thing. Working on some things related to energy. I served in the Senate as generally they work you up in increments, vice president, Senate majority, floor leader, and the president, 2 years each. And I bypassed being vice president. They called me one Sunday afternoon and said, "We're over here talking about you." I said, "Well, it felt funny." And they said, we're thinking about fast-tracking you into the presidency. So I went straight in, got voted in as majority floor leader, which means you coordinate all the legislation all the time. And that's a very intense job because my wife came over and watched one time. She said, "Why are you never in your seat? Why are you talking to everybody all the time?" I says, "I'm working their legislation through. Wow. I'm working the committee legislation through. And then I'm working the private legislation through, the individual legislation through right behind." Went through that, got elected as president. And guess what happened? Vice president. COVID hit.
Oh.
we're trying to decide because we had the Cowboys who said, "Yeah, I'm going down there. I'm going to be right on the floor in COVID," and other people going, "I'm not going to be anywhere near the place." And that's just not us. We had to think about our staff. They're generally seasoned elderly people, vulnerable to COVID, and we had to think about them, exposing them to that because there were people losing that battle who were seniors.
Yeah, sure.
And so we did a hybrid situation. We cranked up. They put big computer screens on my Senate president's desk, had a little pocket of legislators, senators on the floor. A majority were out in their hometowns across the state, and these big computer screens, and we opened up the Senate, gaveled it in, all on computer. Governor welcomed us on the computer, and I would control the debate of the Senate through the towns of Wyoming by reaching up and touching a touch screen. Somebody would raise, I said, "Don't put those stupid little yellow hands out. I want a big fat hand in front of the computer hands."
Oh my gosh.
I said, "When you want to talk, put your hand right in front of the camera like that," because I got all those senators to watch. And they put the hand up and I'd call on them out in the Bighorn Bass in Sundance, Evanston, and they would come on and debate, and I would control that debate and then try to catch the people on the floor, and that's how we passed legislation for a few weeks. Then I said, "Okay, we're shutting her down for 2 weeks. Everybody, hopefully most will get vaccinated. Some didn't want to. You got to respect that."
Sure.
And then they came back, and we met in person, and it went really well, and we finished the session. That was my first year as president, was my COVID, heavens. And then the next year, and it's always interesting.
My heavens.
So much goes into it that people don't realize.
I don't realize it. I didn't either. I mean, I still don't have a grasp. You hear the stories and you hear of the inner workings of how they get bills done, but I think very few people understand the process of how that works.
It's complicated. You got to stay on top of it. I said to that somebody once. I said, there's just a few that understand it, how to really work it, and there's a few that think it's a big social hour. They go down and grab a foam cup of coffee and put on a sports jacket or a nice dress and go out and socialize. It's not that. You better be spending all of your time on it. I'm traveling every week with something related to the legislature. And it's okay. That's how you get the job done. You didn't hire on you know, it's, they don't pay well in the legislature. Yeah. Reimburse you for a hotel room. But that's how you get things done, is going out and being with people. That's why I was in Rock Springs talking to people, because when we kick open not just the nuclear, Natrium Nuclear in Kemmer, but there's a whole big Trona-Patch expansion going on now in Southwest Wyoming. What's that going to do to Rock Springs and Green River? Where does Bridger Valley fit into that? And so that's why I'm down there talking to those folks. I'm over at the university talking energy, because people don't realize it's not just, it's oil, gas, and coal. It is still that, but there's all of these others starting to set in, ammonia and hydrogen and all of that, mm-hmm. and it's going to be game-changing. We closed out our minerals meeting. For the first time ever, I brought minerals as a co-chair to Kemmer. We're going to Kemmer, Rock Springs, Gillette this time, because I said we're going to meet in the coal communities. Wow. I'm not giving up on the hundreds of jobs that are in the coal community. Just Kemmer alone, 225 jobs, $11 million back into Lincoln County's tax economy. Right. And so we're there. But as we concluded the meeting, I asked the University of Wyoming, the head of the Department of Energy, I said, do you suspect that within 5 years we'll be using words in the energy sector that we're not even aware exist right now? And she said, yes. And I said, folks, get ready. You're at a pivotal time in how we use our energy. And if you don't think that's important, every time you turn on the lights, every time you get in your car, it's going to be different forms, fashions, but don't give up on the things that are working well now. And that's the old basic. I don't care what you think, it's the old basic fossil fuels. What's employing the people, that's what's getting us from point A to B. And that's what's doing it. Awesome. You know, so I've been pushing. I've run legislation that says you're not going to close down that plant. You're going to sell it if you close it. Well, they know it's going to be hard to sell, so they took me off their Christmas card list. we're talking millions and millions of dollars.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow.
And with that, they kind of said, just settle down. I guess, and pretty soon, governor calls me and said, you know, I think in your country's looking towards Natrium Nuclear. I said, I'm all here. It's because it's all part of the big picture.
When is that nuclear power plant?
It's going to be 10 years, because we have to find our fuel. We got fuel, but we can't process it. We're not going to call on the Russians. It was going to be a 7-year project. They're still going to start construction this summer, but it'll be out 10 years before we do that. So in the meantime, I'm trying to protect all the old school energy and say, don't go away. I've been to multiple meetings. We met with Congressman Harriet Hageman on Memorial Day. I gave up my Memorial Day if she was willing to give up hers. Commissioner Conley and I hopped in a car, buzzed over to Casper, sat down with her, and said, we need this, this, and this. She says, I need this, this, and this for answers. And we went out and started gathering. In fact, I went from there out on the high plains and looked out to Senator Scott's ranch, and I says, give me some help here. We're going to work on the old school energy. And he's right there. In fact, late last night, he called me. He said, Dan, I'm working on this paper for you. That's good. That's what I want, you know. It's about staying connected. It's about cultivating relationships with people in the legislature, with people in D.C., with people in the industry, all the way through. It's about cultivating relationships, and I cannot emphasize that enough. You got to be connected. You got to be out there working and talking to them, or you're useless in this job.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Thank you for that insight.
Yeah. That's very interesting.
So
You're talking about things that I have a great passion for, well, so I got to shut down here and let you
know. No.
So you've answered a bunch of the questions that I had for you. There's a couple others that I'd like to ask you in the short time that we have left. Is the one thing that is what do you see as the greatest challenge that we face in our area right now? You mentioned energy.
Energy for Southwest Wyoming, yes. For our area specifically in Star Valley. I'm very concerned that when people roll in and say, I'll buy that, whatever the cost, I will buy that. What does that happen then? They'll buy the entire pasture next to the river. They'll buy the whole mountainside. They'll just buy it, whatever the cost. Yep. What does that do to you and I who are just simply trying to maintain a home and we get our property tax notice in the mail? Yes. What was that? It's just rumbles our world.
Right.
And I got to keep working on a solution for this. It's going to be breaking into the Constitution. Finally decided the system doesn't work. It's broken under this scenario.
Okay.
When people will come into this beautiful valley and say, I'll buy that.
Whatever the cost.
Yeah, whatever the cost. And that, I'll be honest with you, that breaks my heart. This is a beautiful valley. I don't like to see sprawling build out. This is precious. I raised my 4 kids here, and our playground was the Bridger-Teton National Forest, the Caribou Targhee National Forest. and we could go to the river on with people we knew and fish, and we could have access to the forest without opposition.
Yep.
And a lot of that world is changing, and that has me deeply worried. I love this valley with all of my heart, and we got to be careful about these changes.
Yep, for sure.
I agree.
And on the flip side of that, you know, a lot of the kids that are being raised, your kids, my kids, I mean, there's always that hope that maybe they would be able to come back and live by mom and dad, you know, or find a job. But those options are disappearing. Yes.
What can they afford?
Yeah.
I serve on the Lower Valley Energy Board, and we talked about, for the first time ever, we're talking about buying employee housing. Yep. Because we pay our people very well. They can't afford it. Talking to the Wyoming Department of Transportation, the Wyoming Game and Fish, they're paid well, but they can't afford a place to live here. What does a family do? They have to get creative and say, I got to come back and live on mom and dad's property in some form or fashion, yep. Move a modular in. That's the part that's very, very difficult. How do we get these people back? Because the cost, I don't see any of it changing right away. I was talking with another group of legislators. I don't see it changing. There are hot spots in this state. Teton, Lincoln, that's one of them.
Yep. Yeah. For sure. For
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
So in closing here, how do you want to be remembered? Dan, in the
service.
Annals of time.
Just service. Yeah. I just,
okay.
When people call up and say, you know, we're working on this, guys have some help, I said, well, let's go out to Cheyenne. And if they don't want to go out to Cheyenne, I said, I'll go out to Cheyenne and we'll zoom you in on a meeting from out of state agency. It's about service. It's just about making sure the individual person's taken care of. I was in a meeting in Alpine this morning. They said, we're having problems with this topic, and other person's having another topic with that problem with that topic. I said, well, let's get this taken care of. And it's service. And you never get ahead financially with this, as my wife points out. It just I spend a lot of money and gas and time and energy trying to get this done. But you either show up to figure out how you're going to get the service done, get some accomplishments done, or you get out of the way. It's not, you don't do it for self gain. You gotta say, these are my people. First of all, Star Valley is my people, and I expand out and help Jackson. They're very wealthy, but they need a new school. They're expanding rapidly too. So I trip over to Laramie and sit down in front of school facilities. And say, Jackson needs an extended school. They need a bigger school. What are you going to do about it? How are you going to help us? I do that for them, and then I'm endless time in Kemmer trying to save those mineral-based jobs. Go to every meeting possible, because you can't turn to those people and they have been sustaining us. The coal miners, 225, 224, yeah. $11 million back. And then you go down to the coal mines in Rock Springs and Gillette. You got to make sure, but I take care of those mineral-based jobs, because they have been packing the water for us forever. Aside from property taxes, you have a lot of what you have because of the mineral-based industry. Yeah. And so I take care of a lot of them. I'm down in Rock Springs saying, how are we going to handle this growth? Over in Sublet, they need health care. They finally teamed up with Star Valley Health. What can we do to put a good hospital in there? So you don't say, I'm just limited because there's a line on a map that says you can't go beyond there to help. No, I'll help this whole western, southwestern region. Mm-hmm. Spend a lot of time doing it.
That's great.
How do you... We live in a world today that is so charged. Polar opposites. Right versus left. Wrong versus right. All of these things. Yeah. And it's... You at least for me, I turn on the news and you just want to throw your hands in the air because it seems like nobody is getting along. How do you navigate those waters?
Quietly. You don't get out in front of people and throw your hands up and pontificate how you're going to do it. And you just quietly go to work.
Okay.
And you get things done better that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when people get irate, I just sit there calmly and just let them be irate. And then, okay, now what can we do to get something accomplished?
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. Don't do it for self-gain or self-aggrandizement. Just quietly go do the work.
Love it.
I do
Love
too.
It. A lot to be learned from
Dan,
Senator Doc Stater.
Yes, we need to do this again. And, you know, he's so wise.
Fantastic. MJ, do you have any more
I don't.
Questions for
No, Senator he answered Doc my Stater? Questions too as he was.
Well, Senator, thank you for being on.
Thank you so much.
On our podcast with us. This has been a treat for us. And I think we've both been enlightened and educated, and I feel like our listeners will feel the same.
Good to visit with both of you. Thank you.
We do appreciate this.
We do.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for listening this month to Why Your Story podcast. I am your host, Travis Osmond.
I am your host, Mary Jo Parker.
And together we are
Why Your Story.
Thanks, everyone. Be safe out there. Bye-bye.
Bye.